Find someone, give them a big smile, a big elbow bump. And if they're okay with it, a wonderful hug. Amen. Good to see everybody at New Life Fellowship today. Looking forward to releasing what Daddy's given us today. Amen. He loves you so much. He is so into you. Amen. He don't stop thinking about you. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. His focus is on his treasure, and you're his treasure. And to all who are online, you're just as valuable. Amen. Today, if you're watching online, you're just as precious, and he's after you, and he's ready to meet you right where you are. Our Father is so awesome. Amen. And last week, we were challenged with a thought that's not going to die. It's going to live on. Amen. And a challenge and an expectation from heaven for us to become, amen, the full statue of Christ. So I ask you again today as we move into what God's going to talk to us about, are you the one or should we look for another? Are you the one or should we look for another? This week, several have said in their spirit, they've communicated it out loud. Some have let me know, amen, I need the other one to show up. And that's being honest. Truth-telling is powerful. When we get honest with God, he meets us there. And so I'm finding out that lots of people that, amen, want to be associated with Jesus Christ on a day-to-day, all-day-long basis is hungry for more, and they know there's more to Christianity, amen, than what our Christian world has been giving. Not to be derogatory, but the fact is there's more. And then when you step into that, there's more, amen? This thing's wonderful. And so where do you want to go with him? How far do you want to walk with him? How deep do you want to go with him? Amen. How high do you want to soar with him? The best is yet to come, and your best days are before you. Has anybody ever needed a wake-up call before? Amen. You're just like, my God, I got to have a wake-up. Turn it up to the loudest decimal because I don't need to miss this appointment. Get me a wake-up call. This would be bad if I missed this appointment. Been there before? Amen. And so I would say to you today that a wake-up call is important for all of us in the spirit because we don't want to miss our appointment with heaven, do we? Amen. We don't want to miss what God has for us today. Isn't it good, though, that he's so merciful? He'll allow us to miss it, and his mercy will be new and fresh the next morning. Amen. Waiting on us to come join with him on this wonderful journey. And so we're making a wake-up call, amen, message today, because there's something that happens when we're asleep that won't happen when we're awake. Certain things happen when we're sleeping that won't happen when we're awake. I'm going to read you something. It reads this way in Matthew 13:24. You know, I don't know how many scriptures I'll read to you today because the unction of God's presence may have me on the floor here in a few moments down there with you. And I'm okay with that. So take advantage of the scripture. This is in the Bible here. Another parable he put forth to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. It's when men sleep that the enemy can do his job. Amen. When we're not spiritually awake, the enemy has access to do what he can't do when we're awake. Because when you're awake, you don't put up with him. You walk on him. When we're asleep, he can manipulate, amen, our power, our identity, and things from us that make us who we are. And so what's an attribute of me being asleep? Amen? What would be one of the attributes of me being asleep? Conforming to the patterns of this world? Well, I'll read that to you in a few moments here, if the Lord willing. Be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. So when I'm awake, my awareness is due to the fact that I have the mind of Christ. But I can have a certain level of religion at work in my life because of patterns. Patterns, and we're not talking about sinful patterns only. We're talking about any kind of pattern. Patterns, preacher, give me 3 points, and I'll be happy. I like giving 3 points. I just enjoy doing that. But the temptation to think that that's the answer to whatever dilemma it is that you have, the enemy will manipulate us because we don't want to be conformed to patterns. It puts us to sleep. And you can go to church on Sunday, be in the building, and be asleep. And the enemy can go to church with you, and you not even know he's sitting right next to you. I'm not talking about your spouse. I know that the enemy will convince you that your spouse is your enemy, but that's not the enemy. He's good at what he does, isn't he? And so conforming is what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to get relaxed in an idea of what Christianity looks like, what being godly looks like. He's okay with that as long as you do not become awake to the mind of Christ in the moment. Now, you know, our world don't know Jesus Christ as a whole. But our world is finding out that there is a higher power that's evident. You ever heard of theoretical physics? Theoretical physics is a study of reality. People who haven't experienced God on the level that they can, there's an awareness that's developing right now. Because in theoretical physics, it's the study of reality, time, space, matter, essence. And you see, God, every bit of time, space, matter, essence is within him. He's perfect. Jesus demonstrated theoretical physics perfectly. Amen. He was a manifestation of reality. Now, you and I, we bring our flawed time, space, matter, essence to him. And that's he'll take it. He said, give me what you got. Because when we begin to come together with him, all of a sudden, we get this thing we call presence happening. Whoo! Anybody feel that right now? Presence. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. You can't produce that. Now, you can choose to step into it because that's how powerful you are. Of all of God's creation, he chose you to be the apple of his eye, to be the place of his abode, the place where he lives, where he moves, where he fulfills his purpose. He will not do it without us. Now, I can choose not to go with him on that journey. Amen. And the enemy's working overtime for me to think that, you know, now, ladies and gentlemen, this is so important for us to get this because we don't want to miss this. We want to blend with God so that we step into true reality. Okay, does anybody feel the presence of God in here right now? Is that all the presence of God you can feel? Or is there more to come? The enemy would love for you to become satisfied with a certain level of God's presence where you feel him, but he ain't really on the inside yet. Amen. Because let me encourage you. Amen. This physics, amen, Acts 2 was a move of God. It was a reality that happened because people come together and they found that place in the Spirit where they started hosting God's presence, and He started coming like a wind and like fire. And it not only changed the group that were receiving it, but, amen, there was nations in Judea that saw it and they heard it and they were impacted by it to the point that they became convicted and asked the question, what shall we do? We're talking about a movement here. Amen? We're talking about something that brings about the kind of change that brings fulfillment. You know, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm learning more and more, even at 58 years old, that, man, walking with Him is fun. It's fun because I get to see Him touch the lives of people, amen, that prior in my Christianity, I didn't realize He could go there with it. I'm seeing things now at 58, just hanging out with the people in my path. I didn't put them there. They show up in my path. Amen. And while I'm communicating with them what God's doing for me, and I'm not trying to be, you know, a 10-pound Bible study to them. I'm just talking about life. I'm just being me. But being me is, are you the one? Should we look for another? Being me is being Christ. And it's not being spooky and weird. It's exciting because it's attractive. And people that are looking and they're tired of going to church, they're tired of the enemy does this. I mean, you know when someone's been played. They won't go to church because there's too many hypocrites. They've been played. You know, it's like that's the only place that hypocrites can go is to church. But they've been played. And they're honest about it because and they'll say things like, you know, I love people, but I don't like them. And we've had that discussion here. It's really not possible to be a follower of Christ and like people. But you don't understand. I understand what you're saying. Look, I almost agree with you. Is that helping anybody? I'm not ignorant to what I don't like. You know, people hurt you. People will walk on you. People will take advantage of you. They're just not fair. They don't play right. Right? Like being in the playground. So it is. But as I'm talking about what the Lord's showing me about, then I'm listening to the conversation and I'm giving them what God's given me, all of a sudden you see the very fingerprint of heaven touch them and they begin to break because they realize that even though what they believe is wrong and what is hurting them and that they need to run from people, don't hang out with people because people are mean, they realize that they'll never live out fulfillment until they can go with Jesus and see Him resurrect them, deliver them, redeem them, bring hope into them, take them to identity. Is anybody tracking? And when you see someone begin to recognize the presence of God and their need to go with Him on this journey that they can't explain, He's not asking for you to explain it. We're trying to get educated enough so we can help Jesus do something. And He's not asking you to get educated to do that. Well, then what is He asking from me? You know, because we don't want to be stupid, do we? And so when we begin to, this is good here in Romans 13. This is all the more urgent. Verse 11. For you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer than when we first believe. Now, I'm aware right now that I did not give these scriptures to the media, and you're probably not looking at them. Sorry about that. You can come up after service and ask me what scriptures they were. I'll give them to you. But you know, listening to God is the foundation of all that we do. Those that have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church are the ones that are being transformed all over the world. Amen. So what does this experience of transformation really, really look like? What is it all about? And so here, the secret is experience and empowerment to follow the Spirit, to walk with God. The Lord is interested in us being together. The potential of what can happen in this room now is totally hinges on unity and oneness. Would you let that hit you for just a few moments here? The potential of what God can do in this room that will impact this community depends on unity and oneness. And when they were all in one accord, when they come together and there was an agreement, the breath of God came and he blew through there like a wind. And he came as an experience in fire. And all of a sudden, their disposition and their attitude and their passion changed. They're stepping into the Spirit of God, the presence of God, in such a way, boldness comes upon them. And it impacts a nation in one day. 3,000 were added to the church in that same day because of unity, oneness, of movement, of transformation. So, Jesus gives us this indication in chapter 16, amen, that he tells those that are following him. And everybody, I've heard everybody say, I would have loved to have been with Jesus when he was in flesh and walked with him, I think. You know, potentially, you know, there was a lot of people that today, if they had to do over, they would walk with Jesus. But we are better off than those who had the opportunity to walk with him while he was in his a fleshly body, walking with him. Our opportunity is greater because Jesus said it like this: it's better for you that I go away. Well, how can it be better for him to go away than for him to be right there in person with me? Because if he goes away, he can be in me. A lot of difference. If he gets in me, if he gets in you, something happens. All of a sudden, then with him in us, we find out who we are. With him in us, every spiritual gift and blessing in heavenly realms belong to us. With him in us, we have everything that pertains to life and godliness. Are y'all tracking yet? There's nothing else to get. We have it all. So, what do I ask for if I've got it all? Glad you asked. Wisdom. All the Lord is asking from us when he gives us this transfer, from when we come to him at a place where we open up and we let him blow life into us through his Spirit and fill us with fire. Amen. And we get all the things that pertain to life and godliness. Every spiritual blessing belongs to me. He's asking for us to ask him for his very mind. Now, in our world right now, the most popular thing to go for is, amen, you want these leadership principles. And I've studied leadership principles. Anybody study leadership principles? That's the popular thing in our world, is to develop your leadership from the study of leadership principles and precepts. But you want to hear what Jesus says through Paul writing that leadership is? Y'all ready? No, I'm going to read it to you anyway. It says it this way in 1 Corinthians 5, 2 and 15. Paul describes what leadership looks like here, and he says, those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts, and who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. All of a sudden, you can relax now. You getting a pattern or conforming to a pattern of this world based on the idea of leadership, all that will do is put you to sleep. Pastor Lowe, you don't have to get that pointed with it. But the temptation is you're going to reach out for patterns because that's what we're tempted with. Our temptation is always conformity. Give me something that I can conform to that's easy from my lens. And all of a sudden we find out it only looks easy, it puts you to sleep. But when you decide to become spiritual, amen, that means you've invited God's presence to come in. Come on, you can't be spiritual without Him. I mean, you're spiritual, yes, because He chose you to be His temple. When we talk about physics, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and you're not your own? You've been purchased to be that, thy very house of God. And so everyone in this room, reality is, whether we like it or not, is God chose us to be His house. And so when we choose to let Him come to His house, we're choosing to be followers of Christ. Now, for me to be successful and fulfilled and complete in Him, I need to be connected to the body. Mm-hmm. This idea that me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. That's no truth to that. That's a trick. That will put you to sleep. Remember, the enemy can only do things when we're asleep. When you awake, you won't let him do it. You'll put him on the run. Anybody want to put the enemy on the run? Now, I'm not calling us devil chasers. That's not our identity. But he sure does run from us when we show up. You have the potential when you walk in any room, any place that you go, any restaurant you go, any grocery store, wherever you go, when you walk in the room, the kingdom of God has just come in that room. That's who you are to God. And God can't do what He wants to do unless He has availability. Every one of us in this room are powerful stewards of the kingdom of God. We're here to steward something, amen, that's beyond our comprehension. And for us to steward God's kingdom, can you imagine? He chose us to be the stewards, the representatives. He gave us the inheritance. Our inheritance is the kingdom. And He says, now I want you to run it. But He does, we don't run it without His mind. Let this mind be in you. And so when we come together, I'm just going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, you begin to see the value of being together, because when we come together, something happens that cannot happen when I'm by myself. When I'm with you, we encourage one another. We incite one another. We inspire one another to good deeds and good works in the Spirit. And while we're connected with one another, guess what happens? The mind of Christ shows up and we get this breath of God, this aha moment on exactly what to do. How many times have you said, man, I don't know what to do, Lord. I wish I knew what to do. And the enemy's got you hunkered down in a little cave. He's got you cornered in a place where, you know, I just don't know what to do. And you're letting the Lord... You're telling the Lord, I don't know what to do. and I need answers. And he's wanting us to come together. Something powerful happened when James and John and Peter get together. Oh, yeah. Something so powerful that happened to that three that when those three got with the other nine, the 12 got together. Whoa, man, we're moving something big now. That when those 12 hung out with the 70, whoo, cities are going to be turned right side up. I mean, whole cities are going to get healed. They're going to come back with testimonies that mind-blowing because they understand the principle of, come on, we need a wake-up call, ladies and gentlemen. Right, 2020 is telling us. 2020 is telling us, amen, with the idea of social distancing, something ain't right. The people of the world that don't know Jesus Christ, they're saying something ain't right. They're not okay with what's going on. They're tired. Nations are tired of being separated, distancing. They're realizing we need connection. We need to be together. Come on, when suicide is beyond five times the amount now than it was prior, that tells you that you have something about you that's so powerful that if I'm with you, we can, two can put what take flight? The enemy's going to run. I mean, you're powerful, amen, in your individuality, but when you get connected, and we want to be leaders, right? We want to be leaders. That's who we are. That's who God says we are. Everybody's a leader because God's designed you to have influence with people. You're called out of darkness into marvelous light, amen, to be the salt of the earth, to be impact those around you, and to walk with him. Awake, awake, amen. Wake out of your sleep. Your salvation is nearer than when you first believe. What's that saying to me and you? Amen. We're stepping into identity. You think you're powerful right now. Come on. Amen. Let's step on into who God designed us to be. Are you the one or should we look for another? And so going to this place in him, amen. The patriarchs, I mean, you have Moses. He would leave the millions of people to go be with Christ. You know, I said, well, Pastor, you're telling us to be with people. Yep. But there's a time when you've got to have a transfer. There has to be, amen, a place where you're able to hear from heaven apart from all the murmur and the complaining. See there, Pastor, now you agree with me. I don't like people neither. I'm tired of all the murmuring and complaining. Moses didn't like, yeah, he loved people. He was the meekest man on earth. He didn't put up with much, though. But when he knew how to go to this place in the Spirit, to where after he went to that place in the Spirit with God, his face shone with brightness. David would call it that place the secret place of the Most High. Amen. And he would meet with God in the secret place of the Most High. Can I give you a revelation of what that place is? You. Come on. Let's get the physics down. You're the house of God. Inside of you is an imagination. And the devil didn't give it to you. You might use it for him sometimes. But he didn't give you the imagination station inside of you. God put that in you. Every significant invention, anything of value from our lens that, amen, is profitable in this world, come out of the imagination. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, the enemy's shaking in his pointy toe boots right now. Because some of you are going to realize in just a little bit that God's been talking to you quite a bit. And you're going to begin to realize, just like Elijah. You're so good, Daddy. I mean, he's bringing stuff to my spirit right now. Just like Elijah when he was running from Jezebel. Begin to realize, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. It was the still small voice. Putting all this thunder and lightning and wind, everything else going on in the world, it was his still small voice that got him. And it transferred something to him. And when the transfer was made between Elijah and God in that cave, come on, he went to the very cave of Moses. And God says to him, what are you doing here? Well, you know, don't you, Lord? I don't like people. Well, I'm preaching to me right now. I'm preaching to nobody. I'm just encouraging you. What are you doing here, Elijah? And then he gave him a demonstration. And Elijah couldn't hear God in that, but he heard that still, small voice. And a transfer was made. Somebody's going to hear that voice today. And when that transfer was made, he turned his face and he went back from where he came. And I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, based on what I'm picking up in the spirit, you didn't want to mess with Elijah. Jezebel didn't want to come across his path when that transfer was made. But prior to the transfer, she had power over him. Does anybody turn and toss in your sleep ever? You ever lose sleep? You ever hear things like, you're not worthy? You're not a good parent? You're a bad spouse? You're a failure? Anybody ever heard that kind of stuff before? And the enemy comes and he plants that in us when we're sleeping. And so Elijah, powerful Elijah, was sleepwalking until God woke him up and gave him a wake-up call. And today, he's going to give some of us a wake-up call. I'm going to read you something out of Psalms, how David, he was a shepherd boy, right? So he experienced being a shepherd. He saw all the dynamics of what happens as a shepherd with the sheep and how the lion comes to kill the sheep, how the bear comes, and he knows how to deal with the wolves. And he understands the scene of shepherding and being in the field. And this is the imagination of David going to the secret place of the Most High. Y'all ready? All right. I don't know all the different paths that everybody's walked in this room, but everybody in this room can go to your special place today before we leave, and we're going there. You can choose not to if you want to. But a New Life Fellowship, you're going to begin to walk in fulfillment, because people in this world right now don't understand how powerful they are. And their experiences are not there to make them feel bad about themselves. Their experiences in life are key for them stepping into the secret place of the Most High. Going to that safe place where there can be a transfer made between them and heaven. And they can step into their identity, and they too can be fulfilled and not browbeaten, beat up, and demeaned, and pushed down. Is this okay? In Psalms 23, David, this is how David intersected with God. And he writes to us based on how, out of his imagination, he sees Yahweh. He sees the one that is up here. And notice how he refers to him. And some of you are going to refer to him different than David today, but that's how you see him. David said, the Lord, and that's speaking of the name you're not supposed to repeat. That's the very breath of God. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you do that? Are you catching it yet? The Lord. Come on, it's how he relates. That David is going to go to a place where he can have a transfer. How many like Psalms 23 to minister to you? But you got to take your own experiences in life so that you can go to the imagination station. Because within you is the kingdom of God in you. And if you'll let him show up there, he'll take his abode there with you. And he'll talk to you. And when you leave to go follow him, come on, the most powerful thing you do is be a follower of Christ, is you say only what you hear your Father say, and you only do what you see your Father do. And now the one that needs to show up showed up. Are you the one, or should we look for another? Hang on, Pastor. I'm going to go get a transfer. That one that's supposed to be showing up is about to show up. And it's okay if you know that I'm not where I need to be. That's okay. It's awesome when you come to realize I'm not where I need to be and I need a transfer. We're going to let go of some things today. As we read in Psalms 23, it says that he goes on to say, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Is anybody getting a picture yet? He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Come on. Sounds like the mind of Christ here. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, if you would. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I want you to catch that right now. Where does he set a table? In the midst of our enemies. People's not your enemy, though. Got to catch this. When does the enemy come and sow his seed? Who's the one that Jesus defeated? Who's the one manipulating my mind on how I see others? You catching it? When I don't see you how God sees you, how can I be a part of the commission of Christ to baptize and make disciples and not be a part of the great commandment to love others as you have loved me? A transfer has to be made, correct? And that can only happen when there's transformation in play here, a transformation movement where we're connected and we're all in unity and we're all in agreement in one mind, in one heart, and all of a sudden the wind blows and the fire comes. A transfer is made. And you're not afraid to die for Jesus no more. You're not afraid of some of the ideas that our world's throwing at us and saying, you can't go there. Yes, we can. Because that's where Jesus is going. He walks into the fire when it's seven times hotter. While a king is saying, you will bow and worship, Jesus is standing in the midst of the fire. Every level it gets, he starts manifesting more. The hotter it gets, he manifests more, and he's waiting on us to come join him in the fire. Because that's where he teaches us, and he navigates us to our true identity. Amen? So, he sets a table for you and me in the presence of those voices that say, you're not worthy. You're not a good parent. You're a failure. You don't do nothing right. With all that stuff coming against us, that's where he sets a table. Or he even may set the table, amen, with an anointing on your life to go, amen, and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Like he did Peter, and he said, look, Peter, I want you to get up and kill and eat. And he'll have you go do something that you ain't supposed to do. You just walked up into a Gentile's house. That's the enemy. The place that we don't want to eat is where he sets the table. Why does he set the table in the presence of our enemy? Because if you'll pay attention to the enemy, they're beat. If you used to go back into that day, after they went to battle, where did they chain the enemy? In the banquet hall, to the pillars. And the king would have a banquet. And they would all rejoice and celebrate while the enemy was chained and watched them celebrate. Somebody's going to catch this here in a few moments. And when you start hearing the still small voice, you're going to realize the idea that you're a failure was a lie. That you're a bad parent is a lie. God loves your kids. He loves you. He don't say nothing bad. He don't accuse nobody of it. He's not an accuser. He didn't tell me all the stupid sins you've been doing this week so I could come tell you you've been a sinner. He didn't tell me that. If I was to hear about something that you did wrong, and everybody in this room is probably guilty of something. You said what you shouldn't have said. You did. You had a wrong attitude. You did some stupid this week. The Lord is not telling me any of that. He's telling me something else about you. And He wants you to know that all these things that keep convincing you that you're doing all this bad stuff, that's not you. That's the enemy He's already defeated. He wants you to get along with Him long enough so He can give you a transfer on value and on identity and spiritual blessings, everything that's godly and life. He's wanting to give that to you. But He wants you to take a moment and push everything back and let the presence of God. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about time, space, and matter, essence. Taking your flawed time, space, matter, and essence and blending until He purges it and cleanses it and brings out the true diamond in the rough. Because He wants to put you on display. He don't quit. When He starts something, He knows how to finish it. And it says here, "You anoint my head, my cup runs over. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, the day of you self-posturing, self-protecting, trying to protect your interest is coming to a close. God's going to set you free from that burden that keeps holding you captive till you can turn to the cross of Jesus and say, "Now that's what I'm going to protect. That's what I'm going to, amen, posture for, because that's where my identity is and that's where my fulfillment is complete." Amen. It's time for a wake-up call, ladies and gentlemen. And so, what are we doing with time, space, and essence on a daily basis? We can go to doubt, fear, and unbelief anytime we want. Do y'all get that? You can go there anytime you want to. And you've got a lot of principles and precepts and patterns that we conform to that validate doubt, fear, and unbelief. Anybody have a reason why you doubt, fear, and unbelief? Yeah. The enemy will give you a Bible study on doubt, fear, and unbelief. And you can go there all the time, and you'll never produce any good fruit. All you'll ever produce is wood, hay, and stubble, and it'll burn up when the time comes. But if you want to produce gold, silver, and precious stones, then we go to righteousness, peace, and joy anytime we want. We can go there anytime we want. And so for the next few minutes here today, you're going to give me a little bit of music here to encourage you to go to your secret place. Whatever that place looks like to you, you're going to your imagination station. Going to the innermost part of your being. Some of you already know where your safe place is. You know it. Some of you go there pretty regular. Some of you maybe haven't gone like you should. But if you would, right now, for the next few minutes, it's a couple of steps I'm not going to give you a pattern. I'm just going to give you a few steps to deal with the person in the mirror. Amen. Go to that safe place that you know about in your spirit right now. If you want to close your eyes, you can do that. If you want to keep them open, I don't care. But it's just you and Jesus right now. In His presence, wherever that place is, there's fullness. Go there. Come on. I'm not far from any one of you that feels after. Feel after Him right here. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Get there. Get to that place where you're entertaining the one that owns the house that you wear. It's His house. Place where you can't be attacked, a place where you can't be harmed. It's a place that God has given you dominion, authority, and power at. Right there at that place. Let His presence come now. Just let Him come. It's the most beautiful presence there is, ladies and gentlemen. What do you feel right now? With His presence there. If you want to write it down, you can write down what you're feeling. Make a memo in your spirit. Yes. Now, you feel Him giving you a little hug? Let's let Him talk to you right now. He wants to ask you a question. What burden are you carrying that you want to let go of? He's asking you right now, what burden do you want to release to Him? Where's that burden at inside of you? Where's it located? What does it feel like? That's it. Just talk to Him right now. Ain't nobody here but you and Jesus. Just you in heaven. Where's it at? He wants you to release it to Him. He wants you to make the decision today to let this burden go and hand it off to Him. If you still haven't let it go, let me ask you another question. What is that burden that you're carrying? What's it been costing you? Come on, write it down if you need to. Man, this has been costing me a lot. What does it look like? And all healthy relationships require an exchange. He's asking for something from you that you've been carrying too long and it's been costing you too much. Release it. Because He wants to give you something in its place. And He wants you to receive it now. Kind of looks like the mind of Christ is coming in now. What does He want you to do with what He's trying to give you? Are you the one? Or should we look for another? You ain't gonna be the same. Because the more unity, the more agreement, and the more oneness that happens in this room, the more of the breath of God's coming. The more the fire is coming. just you and Daddy here right now, and you're in this place. He reserved this place for you. It exists because He gave you this place to go to anytime you need to, and He'll meet you there. Thank you, Father. Now, if the prayer team would, you're welcome to come up here and join me. We're going to pray for anyone that wants to be filled with God's Spirit and power. Anybody that's serious about this transfer today. Because we want to let the one that wants to manifest out. And that's Christ in us, the hope of glory. He's ready to manifest. Several of you are tired of religion. You're tired of the idea that our religious world is given. You're ready to be empowered to follow Him. And this is the day the Lord hath made. This is the appointed time. Thank you, Father.